Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
All right, places, please. The Daily Mix Show is on deck. Guitars plugged in. Drums ready to go. Chickens.
They're a-clucking.
Other animals. And action.
This is the Daily Mix Show on The Rock with Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs.
While listening to the Daily Mix Show, please refrain from any unnecessary finger gesturing.
99.9 KISW.
Good morning, Rockaholics, and happy hump day. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my parents.
Uh-oh.
And here's why. Well, first of all, my mom's alarm clock probably went off a minute ago, and she's already listening on the Odyssey app because that's what she does every single morning.
What's up, Rosalie?
What up? My dad, on the other hand, he loves his retirement sleeping in schedule.
So right.
He will sleep till like 9, 9:30, no problem. And my mom has been like living a life before he even wakes up.
It's very similar to my wife and I. Like, if I didn't have to wake up for our job, I mean, I'd wake up close to 10 o'clock if I could. And my wife would be like, I've been up since 4:30, you know, read my devotionals, had some tea, did this, did that. Then Tatum woke up. I'm like, you lived an entire lifetime before
right?
I got up.
Well, last night we learned that our nanny, who normally arrives at 4 a.m., wasn't going to be able to be here this morning. So my dad stepped in like a hero and showed up this morning at 4 o'clock.
When you called him and he answered the phone, did he sound like a hero?
He was like, how do you guys do this every day? And I don't know how we do it every day. We just figure it out.
If you ever have to do that again, could you record and put it on speakerphone and record that moment he picks up the phone? Because I'm just picturing your dad going, what?
What is it?
What do you need?
Be important.
There better not be an accident.
So he's definitely not awake right now. He's definitely sleeping.
So now your dad's watching
Barrett. Hanging with Barrett. He has to pack his lunch, get him ready for school,
oh my God.
Get him on the bus. You guys, I have put together a laundry list of things to do this morning just so I can really spell it out so that no mistakes could possibly be made.
I don't know why, but I'm picturing Barrett walking on the bus without a packed lunch and just like a little box of Little Caesar's pizza that your dad picked up. That's his lunch for the day.
It could very well be that. We're going to find out in a couple hours, but shout out Mom and Dad. You guys are awesome.
That's awesome.
Let's inform the Rockaholics.
Knowledge is power. So give us five-ish minutes and we'll give you some interesting stuff you can talk about at work. This is the Daily Mix Download,
aka the DMD.
Here's your daily dose of doings happening in the world.
And the DMD is brought to you by Taryn's parents and Palace Law. And today, it's National Hat Day.
I celebrated yesterday. I didn't get the memo.
It's always a day ahead. You're always one step ahead of these things.
I'm just really trendy.
Now, Danny, you wear a hat pretty much every day here at the station. Do you have a goat? Like, what is your number one hat?
My number one hat is probably one of my Mariners ones, either the like light blue one that I have, or this red one has become one of my favorites.
I always think that you're Fred Durst over there when you wear the red Mariners cap. It's totally like old school Fred Durst.
I did buy it for that reason.
It's a great hat.
So yeah.
My favorite, did I ever tell you the time that I almost got stabbed over a hat?
What?
In New York.
No.
When I was growing up in Brooklyn, I was going to the mall to get to the bus station. That's not the story, but I'm wearing the San Diego Padres hat that my brother bought because I was a big Padres fan because of Steve Garvey. And I was so proud of that hat. And this group of kids surrounded me trying to mug me. And they wanted money. Then they wanted this. And then one of them goes, give me your hat. And like that was like, no, my brother gave me this hat. I'm not giving this hat up. And then one had a knife in his hand. And I'm like, and I remember going, you're going to have to stab me if you want this hat. Now, luckily, they didn't.
Wow.
Wasn't maybe my brightest choice of words to use, because I could have went really bad.
Calling the bluff of someone wielding a knife?
Yeah, this is teenage fun in Brooklyn, New York. I tell this story to my brother, who's now pissed at me. Like, what is wrong with you? It's just a stupid hat. I would have bought you another hat. And then he brought up the point that the hat didn't even fit me. He bought a fitted cap, but my fat head didn't fit in it.
Oh, no.
So I had to cut a little cut in the back of the hat so that way it would fit on my head. He's like, this hat is like is so useless. It means nothing. And you were willing to get stabbed for him? Like, but you bought it for me. And I thought he'd be so proud of me.
You're very tough, Steve. I didn't even know that.
Some say tough. Others say really, really stupid.
Yeah.
And I'll lean towards that one. Hey, how about the Seattle Seahawks? They're looking for a new offensive coordinator. And now they've added another name to the list. So they've had three people that they've interviewed. Now we've got number four. He's from the Minnesota Vikings. He's the assistant offensive coordinator. You're like, oh, great. You know, they had an incredible season. Minus the last couple games, especially that playoff game. Ooh. Their offense looks really good. Here's the crazy part. This guy, his name is Grant Udinski. Apparently, he's just like a savant. Like, he's just a brilliant mind. Some think he's like the future of coaching. He's 28.
What?
Could you imagine having... I'm sure there's plenty of coaches out there that have been that young, but I don't know why, but I feel like 30 was weird when people were like, oh, he's 30 years old and he's a coach. 28, I don't feel like I was making any good decisions at 28.
Oh, no.
That's just nuts. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Seahawks, but add that name to the list, which already includes Hank Fraley. He's that offensive line coach of the Lions, the Bears interim coach, Thomas Brown, and then the New Orleans Saints. A lot of people think this would be a good pick. Offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak.
There is a Virginia Beach cop, Officer Harry, who lost his job because he hired a 20-year-old escort named Alexis Dream Copeland.
She's also up for the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, Dream ended up stealing his car, his wallet, his phone, his keys, and his police credentials while he was taking a shower.
Put it in the safe, Katie.
So he ended up reporting the theft using a neighbor's phone, and then the police tracked down Dream driving his car with another man now who claimed that that man was her baby daddy.
Yeah.
The escort ended up being arrested. The police officer has not been charged, but he was fired after this incident.
Oh, we'll just fire anyone for any reason, apparently.
God.
My goodness, that is just insane. All right, let's talk about the Kraken. Yesterday, I said, oh, the season's just done. They just suck. And then last night, I should just say that more often. I don't know if it lit a fire under their butt, but man, yesterday they were down 2-1 going into third period. I'm like, okay, great. They're going to lose to the Penguins in Pittsburgh. They turned it around. Goals from Oleksiak, Tolvanen as well, just 49 seconds apart, and they beat the Penguins 4-2. Joey DeCourt played phenomenal in between the pipes, and he even had an assist, so he got his very first ever point in the NHL, so that was kind of cool. He passed the puck, got an assist. As far as what's next for the Kraken, they play tomorrow in Winnipeg to take on the Jets.
People that play pickleball, are they called pickleballers?
Sure.
Well, attention, pickleballers.
Pickleballers.
Former NFL quarterback Drew Brees is bringing his pickleball company called Pickler to Seattle. And they're going to be putting a new indoor facility in Fremont. The location is what was formerly occupied by Theo Chocolates, and they just shut down, I think, at the end of last year.
Where did they go?
I think they're done.
Oh.
Yeah, or maybe they just moved.
Well, they had great chocolate.
They did. Pickler's going to be moving into that location. They're going to do tournaments. They're going to be setting up leagues. They're going to have training, lots of fun events, and the growing rise in popularity of pickleball is insane. Over 200% participation increase in 3 years.
And was it Bainbridge Island that
yes.
is where the birthplace of pickleball?
It originated here in Washington State, and it is the official state sport.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should all go.
I'd be stoked to go.
We could create our own pickleball team.
Do you think that Drew Brees is going to be there for the grand opening?
Oh, he'll probably just be there. He's probably just going to work the front desk. What else has he got to do? He's not busy. He's not playing in the NFL.
Not at all.
Hey, as far as weather, we're going to be hitting a high of 44 degrees. It's going to be cloudy today. The DMD is brought to you by Snoqualmie Casino, and that's what's up.
A friend of a member of this show lost his home in the wildfires, and you're going to hear his story. We're going to be chatting with Danny's buddy, Marco DeSantis, at 6:20.
The Daily Mix Show.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We are continuing to follow from afar all the devastating wildfires that are burning in LA County. Yes. And it's just been absolutely awful to watch so many people being displaced, so many structures destroyed. People have lost everything. We're trying to get a guitarist from Sugar Cult, Marco DeSantis, on the line. And I believe he's joining us right now. Marco, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, first of all, we're just so sorry to hear that you and your family are safe, but you guys have lost everything. You lost your house in the wildfires.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just totally, like, it still feels like a surreal, just kind of fever dream or something, you know? We lost, not only did we lose our house, but we literally lost our entire, I can almost make peace, selflessly, I can almost make peace with, like, oh, whoops, Marco left the toaster oven right on and our house burned, but at least all our neighbors are there and we're going to rebuild it and the community will come together and then we can get back to normal. But right now, it's like literally as if you're in not just our house, but like every single house on our street is gone. It's hard for me to even believe it's real because my wife and my daughter were there and I was actually out of town, and you know, it was a really bad windstorm, and so before I left town I was like preparing for windstorm. I was like, okay, get the patio furniture down, all that kind of stuff, make sure there's nothing, you know, make sure there's no car parked under a big tree or something like that, you know, just thinking, your mind is thinking windstorm. I get the call of like, you know, oh, don't worry, the evacuations aren't for our part, it's for the other part. And then in the middle of the night, it was like, okay, we're being evacuated. Then I get this buddy of mine who's a music guy too, who lives like two houses over. He's like, yeah, he's like, I evacuated and then I came, he said he came back to like try and hold his, you know, get his garden hose and do what he could. And he was like, dude, I finally just had to give up. At that point, I just was making peace with like, okay, my house is probably going to be gone, but maybe not, you know?
Marco, I saw pictures of you and you have two younger kids and I have a 5-year-old, and you know, and I think about like, how do I talk to her about certain things when like, you know, that are heavy. And now you've got something that's beyond heavy just in general. And then how much it impacts you and your family. How did that conversation go? I mean, like, you know, A, first we have to evacuate. You have to explain that to them. And then B, hey, everything that was in our home is gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, that's a really hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say like, you know, it's like anything in life, no matter when it hits you, it's going to be hard in a different way. But the one thing I will say is a, you know, saving grace is like, both of our kids are like, you know, at the tail end of their teenage years now. And we moved into this house when they were like, one was just born like 2 months after we moved into this house to the day. And one was like only like 1.5, you know, when you close your eyes and like think of your mom's house or your, you know, anyone out there listening, like you think of like where you grew up, you can usually close your eyes and like visualize exactly what it looks like. I can remember exactly where I grew up in Santa Barbara. They have that like with this house, like it's like embedded in their childhood memories of like, this is the house they grew up in. This is the house they learned how to walk in and where they had their birthday parties. And if this was going to happen, you know, at least it happened in a moment where like, it's already sort of like a turning point because they're like starting to go to college and we're starting to like turn that page of like becoming empty nesters. It was going to feel like the end of an era and a new chapter anyway, but now it feels like the end of a book. And today feels like the beginning of a new volume.
from here in Seattle, we've just seen incredible acts of kindness throughout your community. Everything from like the Whiskey a Go-Go being a place that people can go for supplies, and the way that people are helping with, you know, animals and things of that nature. And you also have a GoFundMe page, Marco, where people, if they want to check it out, it's on our social media pages as well, at Daily Migs. And we hope that the money raised will at least, you know, help recover some of the things, or replace some of the things that you can replace. I know a lot of the things you've been talking about are irreplaceable, but we definitely want to help you and your family rebuild.
A friend of my wife's set up the GoFundMe, and at first we were like, oh no, we're, you know, I've just never like been the type of person to like ask someone for money or ask someone for help or anything like that. And this has been one of those things where our friends are just like, how do we help? Give us a way to help, please. And it, but just to see the outpouring of people just like, how can I help you? Can I give you a place to stay? Can I give you, you know, can I buy you? One guy just texted me, he's like, can I buy you guys lunch tonight or dinner tonight? And I'm like, my natural inclination is to be like, no, we're good, you know? But yeah. But someone persuaded me. They're like, dude, just accept it. Because
people care.
Yeah, this, and not to sound too woo-woo, but like, honestly, it's one of those things that it really restores your faith in humanity when you realize, like, when something like this, of this magnitude happens, people who, like, you know, you haven't talked to in years, or people who you had a falling out with, they immediately, that just gets erased, and it just becomes, I love you, how can I help you?
We really appreciate you taking some time, and I hope you and your wife and your kids are all going to be all right, and people can check out that GoFundMe on all of our social media pages, and our heart goes out to you guys.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. I'll send you a singed sugar cult poster.
Take care, love, Marco, rock on.
See ya.
Steve, what would you say is the greatest grunge album of all time?
I mean, for me, I lean toward, I'm a massive Mudhoney fan. That's part of why I moved out here. Every good boy deserves fudge.
Yeah.
Or maybe I would even go with The Moment by one of the Pacific Northwest best, Kenny G.
Oh, put it on the list,
right?
For sure.
I mean, that was grunge. No, I would lean to it. Of course, Nirvana.
Yeah.
It's funny, yeah.
Well, there's a music website that went ahead and put together a list of the greatest grunge records of all time. And some of these might have you scratching your head.
Some might piss people off.
Absolutely. We're going to tell you all about it after Stone Temple Pilots.
The Daily Mix Show.
The music website Far Out just put out a list of the greatest grunge records of all time. And, spoiler alert, Nirvana's Nevermind was picked as the greatest.
I mean, I'm sure people would argue, and there's plenty of bands you could argue about, but I mean, I think that's a safe pick.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I kind of opened the eyes to the Seattle music scene to a lot of people that weren't from the Pacific Northwest, like people like myself in New York. All of a sudden, you're hearing all these different bands, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden. I feel like all of those are going to be on this list, but Nirvana was the big one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Migs, you had this idea to put us to the test to see, yes, if we could name the others.
Well, I went through the list, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to cherry pick the ones that I think would be kind of fun. Because, I mean, what I thought was interesting, I'm looking at, like, the top numbers 2, number 3, and number 4. And I thought it was fascinating that all three of those bands that are on this list really it all circles around Andrew Wood, mm-hmm, former lead singer of Mother Love Bone, sadly passed away. Mother Love Bone was number 3. Number 2 was Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam, of course, being a band that came from the ashes of Mother Love Bone with Stone and Jeff. And then at number 4 was Temple of the Dogs record, which was a tribute record to Andrew Wood, which kind of was the start of the guys getting together and becoming Pearl Jam.
So far, it almost sounds like you put together this list, Steve.
Right.
What happens after number 4?
All right. So there's this. I grabbed a few of the songs. I put it through this music software that will pull all the tracks, so you can go track by track, and I figured we could build the song and see if you can name the song. We'll start off with like one instrument, add another instrument, and so on and so forth, and I want to see how knowledgeable you are of some of these iconic grunge records. And these are iconic grunge records, so I figured I'd start with you, Sarah, first.
Oh, great.
And yours is the number 8 grunge record of all time.
Okay,
are you ready for this one?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Starting with drums. Not yet.
Not yet.
A little bass.
Taryn, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you know.
Danny doesn't yet. Some guitar.
Oh.
Come on.
It's my band.
Yes.
Okay. Alice in Chains, baby.
Someone texted and says, if Alice in Chains' Dirt is not number 1, yes! I'll be very upset. It's not number 1, but it is in the top. I mean, it should be closer to number one.
Agree.
I wouldn't say it's number eight. I would put it at number two. Or, I mean, there's a great argument for it being number one. That's such a perfect record.
Totally.
All right. Who should we do next? Let's go with Danny. Danny.
Hi.
Your top grunge song of all time came in at number six.
Top grunge song of all time.
Yes. And I know you're not a big grunge guy.
Okay.
So I went with one that I felt like was a gimme.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Creed. Start.
Got it. Nailed it. Higher. Start with a little bass, baby.
Hmm.
Little groovy bass right there.
I like it.
And a little drums?
Sure. I need drums. Okay. Taryn knows it. I can tell.
Not yet?
No, still nothing.
Maybe we'll add a little guitar. Vocals will give it away.
Oh. I know. Stone Temple Pilots?
No!
No. Black Hole Sun. Oh. Soundgarden. I got it.
How in the world did you figure that one out?
I don't know.
I thought for sure that was... It's funny how, like, just being such a nerd for the Seattle scene, I just heard the drums. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can nail that one.
Oh,
the bass
sure.
was hard. Yeah.
See, easy for me would have probably been Nirvana, but I get it.
Yeah, but Nirvana's a giveaway.
Well, exactly. I need giveaways.
Coming from the Seattle music nerd, okay?
I'm not a fan of grunge.
All right. Taryn, you are a fan of grunge.
Yeah.
The one I picked for you is number 10.
Okay.
And I think it might actually piss off some Seattleites. Because I don't know if they would put this band in the grunge category.
Okay.
Because they're not from Seattle.
Oh.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe we'll start off with the little drums. A little bass, baby.
I got it.
No.
You think so?
That's some DeLeo on bass right there, right? Is that STP?
That is a tasty bass line right there. A little guitar now. Put a little Dean in this action. My former bandmates.
They were.
Do you know which song?
What song is this? The album is Purple.
Purple, yep.
Is it Creepy? Creep?
No, that's on their first record.
What is it called? What is this called?
Big Empty.
Big Empty, thank you. I feel like when you just can't think of the name of the song.
I would argue that Core would be more deserving to be put into a grunge category as opposed to Purple.
I think I agree with you on that. I also, though, was very impressed with Purple because following up Core, that's just a huge task in and of itself. And I thought Purple was a great record.
Purple's a great record and also has a song called Meat Plow on it. And any band that can name a song Meat Plow gets an extra point for me.
But, I mean, how do you feel about STP being on a
I never really put them in the grunge category, but I was always just like, oh, if you want to be a grunge band, you got to be from Seattle. But I mean, that might be a little elitist. Now looking back on it, absolutely. They definitely had that flavor, but at the time I would have never considered them to be a grunge band.
Definitely.
They're a rock band to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, all the bands are rock bands at the end of the day.
Migs, I just want to shout out again that you have turned around your record so far for 2025. 10 wins, 9 losses, and 2 ties this year so far.
A couple perfect 10s, too, in there.
Oh, bragging a little. 206-803-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Migs at 6:50.
The Daily Mix Show.